We're in Psalm 121 today. Psalm 121, I'm going to go to a, just kind of a familiar passage of Scripture for you, but I think it's something that will be helpful to us all. My wife had to slip out in the back to take care of something with our daughter very quickly, and she was taking over or terrorizing the nursery or something back in there. We have a five-year-old daughter. Her name's Megan, and she is kind of a miracle to us. She was, at 16 months of age, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she went through that for several months, had 8 rounds of chemotherapy. It was inoperable at the time. And she went through that battle, and the Lord was just so good to us. And He has healed her of that. She's been in remission for almost 3 years now, and the doctors are just all positive. We don't really anticipate it returning. But it was some tough years. It was a tough few years. A lot of hospital visits, a lot of times, 8 rounds of chemotherapy, multiple surgeries. And on your little baby, you know, it's tough. And you go through a lot of different emotional states, and you're faithful, and you have a lot of faith in God, and then you have angry days too. It's true. We're all human beings. And we say, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. And but He brought us through that. And but our daughter, about a year ago, she was diagnosed. She's autistic. She has autism. So if you see her today, she'll be running around. She likes to be the center of attention. But just keep that in mind. If you want to say hi to her, high five is the way to go. She likes high fives. I don't know who taught it to her. I didn't. But somebody taught her high fives. So if you want to say hi to her, just say high five, Megan. And usually she'll give you a high five. If she doesn't, don't take it personally. It's just because you have something in your teeth. Okay. But she's sweet, and she loves life. Every day, special needs children like that, every day is the best day of their life. Every single day. That's how they live their life. And we learn a lot from her, and we've learned a lot of patience, too, along the way. But my wife is in the back. You'll get a chance to meet her during our time of just chowing down after church today. If you found Psalm 121, would you stand with me real quick just to give you a chance to stretch? If you're able to, if you could stand, Psalm 121, a familiar portion of Scripture. I'm just going to read along, and if you could just follow with me, please. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. A great passage of Scripture, a great psalm here of promise to us that the Lord will help us and sustain us. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that just for the next few minutes on when help is needed. When help is, do you need help today? Does somebody need help in this room? I think many times, if today is not the day, tomorrow will be the day. We go through all these times in our life. Life has ups and downs. Life has twists and turns. We never know what's coming around the next bend. And life is not always easy. And we need help. Well, we have an outline here. We have a passage of Scripture in which God shows us some ways that we can get some help from the Lord when we truly need it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please bless this time now? I need your Holy Spirit's help. I need his guidance as I speak to these wonderful people. Thank you for this great church. Lord, I pray that this time would be profitable to everyone who's here, that something that's said would be helpful and encouraging. Lord, I pray that you'd guide my words. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Thank you. Would you please be seated? You know, some people struggle asking for help. If you are a man here in the room, that includes you. Every single one of us, it doesn't matter how lost you are, you could be hundreds of miles out of the way, and you will not ask for directions, because that's just the way we are taught. Men do not like to ask for help. We don't like to read instructions. We don't like to see a diagram. I mean, even when I was just a little child at the age of 6 or 7, when I was building my first little Lego vehicles, I never wanted to follow the instructions. I just wanted to figure it out. Why? Because I was already cultivating that attitude inside of every single one of us that we don't like to ask for help. Every once in a while, I'll be sitting in the living room. Our living room and our kitchen are open to one another. And my wife will be in the kitchen making dinner, and I'll hear her try to open something. And my wife, she's tiny, you know, she's 5 foot barely, okay? And she's just a little thing. And I'll see, maybe she's making spaghetti and she's trying to open up that spaghetti sauce. And I'll hear all of these wonderful sounds being uttered from the kitchen. And she's trying to open up that can of spaghetti. And she's trying the best of her ability to do it. And I'm just sitting there just kind of chuckling to myself saying, I wonder when she's going to ask me to open it. And I'll just sit there. I'll just sit there and wait. Why? Because kind of, we all have a little bit of that pride inside of us. It's true. We don't like to ask for help. But there are times in our life where things come that are completely out of our control and we can't fix it. We can't make it better. The doctor can't make it better. The accountant can't make it better. The IRS can't make it better for you. Nobody can make it better. They may even say to you, man, there's no hope. There's no hope. And we are forced to be put into a position in which we are very uncomfortable, where we have to say, I need some help. God, I need some help. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do next. Would you please help me? Well, I don't know what you need help for today. Maybe it's help paying a bill. We all need help in that from time to time. Maybe there's a family member that you have and you've been praying and asking God, God, I want to see them trust you as your Savior. I want to see them come to you to be saved. God, would you work on their heart? Would you talk to them? I know they're lost. I know that they've not accepted you yet. Would you please help me? And you pray and you ask him for that. Maybe you're single in here and you're lonely. I'll be honest. Every college young man and young lady has gone through that at some point, and they're praying and asking God for that mate. God, would you send the right person my way? Maybe that's what you're looking for help for today. Maybe it's to help that Sunday school class. Lord, would you fill this classroom up? Would you help me teach these young boys and these young girls about the Word of God? I want to see this class full. I don't want it to be empty, and you're asking for God to help you. Maybe there's a health issue in your life. And the doctors say, you know, we don't really have any other treatments that we can do right now for you. And you say, God, I can't deal with this pain anymore. I don't like this prognosis. I don't know what to do anymore. And you say, God, I need your help. Whatever it may be, God is available to us. And I think if we look here in this passage of Scripture, we can find the nature of the Lord's help. How God wants to come to us and help us. Look here, verse number one. Of Psalm 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes. The first choice, if you're seeking God's help, is that you will do it. In other words, God is not going to force himself upon you today. God wants to help you. He wants to be there for you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to be that sustainer, but he's not going to force himself on you. It starts with, I will. It starts with a choice. It starts with you saying, you know what? I'm not going to go to my friends. I'm not going to go to the boss. Maybe I'm not even going to go with the pastor. And I'm for pastoral counseling. He can help you. He will show you what God wants for you. But sometimes even the pastor says, you know what? I can just pray about it with you. They don't always have the answers. And we have to learn to say, you know what? In this instance, I will choose to go to God. We're very good at complaining to those around us. We're very good at telling all our friends and all our neighbors all of our problems. You have that wonderful person maybe you see in the store, or maybe sometimes they're in church too, and you go up to them and you ask them, hey, it's good to see you. How are you doing? And then they proceed to answer it. How are you doing is really just a formality, folks. It's just the correct answer is, I'm doing well, thank you. Not, well, this week my leg hurts, my foot hurts, and I just lost my, you know, look. Maybe now is not the time to go through all that. But sometimes we ask a random stranger how they're doing and they decide to dump all of their life problems on us. It's like, I just wanted you to ring up my water so I can go. And they're sitting there and telling you everything that's going on in their life. You know, we're good at that. We're good at dumping on other people. But have you taken it to the Lord today? You have that problem that's been eating at you. Maybe it's on your mind constantly. You're sitting in church. You're trying to focus on the service, but all you can think about is that problem. Have you given that problem to God today? I will. See, David's first thought here was, it starts with me making the choice. Help from God is not a guaranteed thing. He wants us to seek him and ask him. Those of us who are parents here in this room, we've experienced this before. We'll look across the way and we'll see our child struggling with something, and we'll just sit there and we'll wait. Why? Because we want them to ask us. We want them to understand that mom and dad are here for you, to help you. And we'll let them be frustrated and we'll let them be struggle for just a little while because we want them to come to us. Well, our Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants to help us. He knows the answer. He'll provide the support, but He wants you to build that relationship with Him and go to Him when you need it. Psalm 107, verse 6, David says, "Then I cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them." He wants us to cry unto Him. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." He said, "Let your requests be made known unto God." God wants us to come to Him. So if you're looking for help today, if you need God to do something in your life, it starts with the choice to go to Him. I will. You say, "Well, that seems so simple." Yes, it is very simple, but we tend to go to other avenues first. Sometimes you'll hear the old statement where they say, "Well, there's nothing left to do but pray." How is that not option number one? We look for human reasoning and human knowledge to help us with everything when we have the God of the universe available to us. Step one is I will. You have to make the choice. Number two, He says, "I will lift up mine eyes," He says, "unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." You see, David is telling us that God's help is available in a specific place. It's available where God is. It starts with a choice that you make to seek Him and go after Him. And secondly, it's about a location. God's help is part of a location. Maybe you're trying to find the will of God in your life. "God, I have this decision I have to make." Maybe it's a decision with a job or a decision with something that you have to do and you're not quite sure and you're seeking the will of God. "God, what do you want me to do? I want to have an answer here." Well, the will of God is never where you are. It is always where God is. The will of God is not where you are. It is always where God is. That's why we have to seek Him and come to Him in His place. God wants you to seek Him where He is in His holiness. You're not going to find God on the internet. You're not going to find Him in a blog. You're not going to find Him in some philosophy book somewhere. You're going to find Him where He dwells. Well, where does He dwell? He dwells in holiness. He dwells in holiness. He dwells in servitude. He dwells in serving others. He dwells in truth, in the Word of God. If you want to find that help, you have to go where God is. It's not Him coming to you and saying, "God, you're supposed to accept me exactly as I am and help me with everything." No. Don't let worldly philosophy get you all twisted up. If we want God to be a partner in our life, we got to meet Him on His terms. See, the promises of God that we read in His Word, many of them have qualifiers. I was just talking to the teenagers earlier where it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." He didn't just say, "Well, just ask me and I'll take care of it for you." He said, "No, there needs to be a step of faith on your end. Commit thy way. You have to do something first." And then God says, "Okay, you've met the requirement. I can come in and do what only I can do." But God expects you to do your part. And He expects you to meet Him where He is, in His holiness, in His servitude, in His truth. If you need to find God's help today, you need to go where He is. You say, "Well, I just feel like I haven't been close to God in a long time." Guess what? He's where you left Him. You say, "Well, last time I felt close to God, I was really faithful in church and I was really reading His Word and I was praying every day and I was helping out and serving and volunteering." Well, guess where you're going to find God today? Back where you were before. You have to meet Him where He is. What else do we see about the nature of God's help? We see that He is the distributor. He is the one. If you look there in verse number 2, it says, "My help cometh from the Lord." It cometh from the Lord. That's why it's so important that we give Him the glory and we give Him the honor and the praise when He comes into our life. Every single good thing that we have in our life comes from the Lord. Every single thing. Say, "You mean that close parking spot I got at Walmart the other day?" Yep, that was Him too. You say, "Does He really care about those things?" You know, I don't think He cares so much about a parking lot space. But you know what He does care about? He cares about the fact that you were grateful to Him for it. That you loved Him because He was good to you in that moment when you were kind of being lazy and didn't feel like walking. That's what He cares about. That's why it's so important that we give honor to Him, because He's the one that distributes the good. In 2 Chronicles verse 14, there's a man named Asa that was here, and he said, "I cried unto his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with help to thee." In other words, you can do anything you want to help me or with them that have no power. "Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. Asa was preparing for battle and he was crying against God and saying, God, we need your help, and for you to help us, it's nothing for you. He said, God, I know that if we're going to win this battle, it's because you made it happen. God is the distributor of our help today. See, all it takes is for one tragedy to come into your life, and then you will realize how worthless many of our dependencies really are. You know, TV doesn't help us very much when cancer comes. Your paycheck, you can spend all the money in the world, but it doesn't mean you're going to get a cure. You realize all the things that we get our security with in life are worthless. And then we say, oh God, I need your help. And he says, yeah, there we go. That's what I was looking for. Where was that 6 months ago? You know, don't wait for God to have to pull the rug out from under you for you to be dependent on him. Trust him now. Trust him in the good times. It'll be a lot easier to trust him in the bad times. See, the faith that we had to get through a thing like cancer with our daughter, that wasn't built that morning in the hospital. There was a period of time of trusting in God in our life to lead us. That way, when we needed that deep amount of faith, we had something to reach down into. You know, it's a terrible thing. It's a scary thing when God brings something difficult in your life and you try to cry unto him for help and you try to find the faith that you need to go on and you reach down into that barrel and it's empty because you've been relying on social media and you've been relying on all these materialistic things to get you by in life and you've yet to learn what it means to depend upon God. See, he's the distributor of all the good things in our life. It's best just to rely upon him now. Don't let God become your measure of last resort. Well, when everything else falls apart, I can always try to call on God. No, he's there first for you. He's there when you need him. He's there the moment you find out about that problem. He's there. Call on him. We see also in verse number 2, we see that he's sovereign. We see that he's sovereign. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. What? Who made heaven and earth? Why would we not call upon the great God and creator of the universe? If he can control this crazy world that we live in and keep us from flying out into outer space and keep us breathing oxygen when we need oxygen, even though it's a little thinner in Albuquerque, we're figuring that out. We're all breathing a little harder these days. But if God can sustain us and can keep us in this great universe, he said, look, I can call on you for my help too when I need help. That difficulty that may seem insurmountable to you is but just a little thing to God. We should call on him. He's sovereign. The sovereignty of God is what helps to drive my faith. The fact that I know that God is in control of everything causes me to have faith in him. It's kind of like that first time, you know, you fly on that airplane and you see that nervous flyer who's next to you. And they're scared and every little bump and every little thing, they're freaking out. And you kind of tell them, you know, the pilot's really in control of the plane. We're going to be okay. And it takes a simple matter of trust to get on that thing or get on that roller coaster that maybe those engineers knew what they were doing when they built it. And people are so afraid because they are out of control. They feel like, I have no control over this situation. Well, you know what? We have a sovereign God who's in control of everything. Amen. And we can trust him. We can rely upon him in our times of trouble. See, my present trouble that I'm going through at that particular time, it's not an accident. God didn't wake up one morning and we cried out to him and said, God, I'm going through this problem. And he goes, what? Really? When did this happen? Where did this come from? Angels, quick, help them. No, God doesn't make knee-jerk reactions. God doesn't make knee-jerk reactions in our life. God is in control of everything. And what may seem like a chaotic time in our life is all part of his plan. And we can reach out to him in faith, knowing that he is in control. One thing that always helped get us through some of those difficult times with our daughters, we realized that God does not waste suffering. If God has brought suffering in your life, I mean true suffering, deep. Maybe there's depression and bitterness that has taken place in your life and you've been suffering. Can I encourage you today that God will not waste that? Say, God brought something into my life and I don't see any good coming of it. Could you just hang on a little bit longer? Can you just hang on a little bit longer? We've seen our little girl, she's 5 years old and she's touched so many lives already. People praying for her, we've been in churches all over the country. We used to go in churches, especially not long after she was diagnosed with cancer. We'd go in churches and we'd be either traveling out of town or I'd be traveling for the college or whatever it may do. And we'd walk into that church and I'd introduce myself and they'd say, hi, nice to meet you. Where's Megan? They want to find, our daughter was the star. I was nobody. You know, I probably should have brought her up here and let her speak to everybody. They probably paid closer attention. But her little life touched so many. Why? Because God used the suffering. He doesn't waste it. God is not up there as a vindictive God saying, oh, you know what? I think I just want you to feel some pain for a while. No, that's not the heart of a loving father towards his children. He's not going to waste it. If you're going through a difficult time right now, know that God has a plan for that. And he has a way to turn it in good. That good, and I'll be honest with you, that good might not be for you. That good might be for your neighbor. That good might be for that person sitting in the pew next to you who's watching your life and watching you be faithful to God even during the difficult times. And you may be building the faith of another. God will use it for good. Why? Because he's sovereign. We see that God is stable here in verse number 3. We see, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. When God brings help, he brings stability. The Christian life is not to be one of continuous up and downs. God wants to plant your feet. He wants you to be grounded in his goodness and in his love. He wants you to be stable today. In Psalm 40 in verse 2, he brought me also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. David's talking about how God took him from some very difficult times and he established him. He made him grounded, stable. A life lived by the philosophy of the world will never find peace and stability. See, this world is always looking for the next thing. Something amazing comes out. Well, what's the next thing? I've seen it already. I'm a techie guy. I'm a nerd a little bit and that kind of stuff. I like technology. I guess it's good that I live in Silicon Valley. It kind of feeds that habit maybe a little bit too much. But I like technology, and sometimes I'll be reading an article or something, and it's hilarious to me that they're already talking about the newest phone or whatever that's coming out next year. Not even this year. Next year. The one that's coming after the new one that we're about to get. I'm like, can we do this thing one at a time, please? Why? Because the world's philosophy, it's never satisfied. Oh, what's the next greatest thing? And what's the next biggest thing? And how can I top this? And how can I top that? And that leads to a life of instability. Always seeking, never satisfied, never content. Always fighting and clawing for that next rush. That's the philosophy of the world. God says, no, I want to give you stability in your mind. I want to give you peace. Oh, the world is looking for peace, but they're looking in the wrong places. They're looking to the UN. They're looking for leadership. They're looking for all these other options, but they've yet to look to the Prince of Peace. The one who says, I can provide that stability in your life that you've been looking for. We see that God is faithful in verses 3 and 4. He said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Aren't you glad? Just like Elijah on Mount Carmel was making fun of those worshiping Baal. Hey, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe Baal is sleeping right now. Aren't you glad we have a God who's available? 3 o'clock in the morning, you want to wake up, say, God, I sure do need you. He's right there. We don't call God and say, thank you for reaching heaven. You've reached just outside of our normal business hours. If you ever made that phone call before, there is no busy tone with God. There is no voicemail. There is no leave a message, we'll get back to you. God is available to us all the time. He is stable. He is faithful. He is right there for us when we need him. I'm going to skip ahead because that Mexican potluck is calling to us. Look here in verse number 5 and verse number 6. When we look at help from the Lord, we see that he's our protector. He's our protector today. He says, verse number 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He says, he's our protector. He's our keeper. The words they use are keeper and shade. The word keeper goes back to the word keep. Those of you who like those little word studies, keep meaning like a tower or a defense, like a castle. He's our keep. Another word the Bible likes to use is refuge. God is our refuge. He is that strong tower in our life that we can run to for protection. But here's the thing we have to understand. A keep or a tower does not stop the attack. Just because there's a tower there doesn't mean that someone's not going to come along and take a shot at you every once in a while. And shade does not stop the intense heat. But what does it do? It protects you from the effects. I run to protection, not to stop the battle, but to protect myself from the effects of the battle. God says, the battle may come, but I will protect you from the arrows and I will protect you from the swords. That way you're not wounded. See, the world is living its life without protection, and that's why they're wounded all the time. But God says, I'm here to be your protection for you. I'm here to protect you from the heat. It may still be hot outside, but guess what? You're not going to get burnt. You're not going to get burnt. We expect God to take away all of our problems. He's not going to take away your problems, but he will be there with you to protect you from the effects of them. He'll protect you from the bitterness. He'll protect you from the anger. He'll protect you from the resentment if you trust in him. Finally, here in verse number 7 and verse number 8, we see multiple times he says, the Lord shall what? Preserve thee. He's our preservation. He's our preservation. The preservation here means unspoiled or wasted. In other words, God wants you to fulfill the plan that he has for your life. He doesn't want you to waste it. He doesn't want you to be spoiled. It's like opening up that jar of fruit that's been canned. It's been preserved, we say. What? It means that we can open it up and use it as if the day it was picked. It's been sealed. It's been protected so we can use it for its original purpose. Maybe like that freshly baked apple pie coming to the visitors. Praise the Lord. I should fill out a visitor card. Anyways, but are you spoiling your life today by allowing the world to creep in? And these difficulties that come into all of our lives, they come in there and you get these thoughts, these darker thoughts, this bitterness that comes in your life. And now you watch your life spoil. You watch yourself get resentful. You come to church and you're like, I didn't really get anything from church. Why? You're living in your bitterness. You're saying, God, I don't feel like you're helping me anymore. Are you getting spoiled today? Is that anger and those emotions that God is trying to protect you from and you're letting them in? He says, I'm going to preserve you. I want you to come through the difficulty, to come through the dark time, preserved and kept like the day before it happened. You say, are you telling me that battles don't leave scars? Oh, they absolutely do leave scars. But that doesn't mean that I can't serve God after them. I'm not going to throw my life away because God allowed something difficult to come into my life. He says, I can preserve you. I can keep you. I want the intended purpose I have for your life to be fulfilled. It's so sad. We see this in the college environment. Young people come to Bible college wanting to serve God with their life, and some difficulty comes their way. And they let that difficulty get to them, and they don't trust in the Lord, and they don't seek help to get through that difficulty. And we watch them get angry, and we watch them get upset. And Satan looks at that open door, and he gets into their mind, and he twists things, and he gets them angry at God until one day they turn their back on everything they've been taught. Why? Because they weren't looking to the God of preservation, who said, look, the difficulty may be here, but my goal is to get you from start to finish where you're still able to serve me afterwards. You say, there won't be any consequences, there won't be any difficulty. Yeah, there will be. But God wants you to serve him outside of bitterness, outside of resentment, outside of anger. And it's easy. I'm telling you, personal testimony, it's easy. It's easy. But would you let God preserve you today? Would you pray to him and say, God, I know you can't take this away. You know, as much as I prayed at the Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana, the day after my daughter was diagnosed with cancer, I prayed and I begged God. I said, I claimed every promise I knew. God, I know you're all powerful. I know tomorrow morning we can wake up and you can heal my daughter and the doctors will be just baffled by it and say it's a miracle and it's amazing. But I knew, deep down inside, I knew that this was something God wasn't just going to take away. He had a plan from the beginning of that trial to the end of that trial. And my job, my goal, was just to trust him to preserve me all the way through, all the way through. Do you need some help today? Is there something in your life that you say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. This is something only God can fix. Well, you know what? Good thing we have a God who wants to help us. He's interested in your life. He loves you and he wants to help you. But it starts with a choice. I will. I will. I'm going to stop seeking all the other things. I'm just going to go to God. The great thing about seeking God only for answers is that when he answers them, whew, you know, God answered my prayer. He answered my prayer. You know, we hear all kinds of testimonies. Oh, God answered a prayer for me. When is the last time God answered a specific prayer of yours? Most of the time, it's because we're just not asking. We're just not asking. God wants to help you today. Are you seeking him? Are you looking to the right place? Are you going to God on his terms? Are you going to God in a way that pleases him? I hope you'll find that help today. Heavenly Father, would you please help this time now of invitation, Lord? Lord, it's not an enjoyable topic talking about difficulties and hardships in our life, Lord, but we all face them. God, I pray that there's something that was said today would be a help and encouragement. God, I'm so glad that you love us and you're interested in our life and you want to help us. God, I pray that we build our faith and our trust and our confidence in you as we go to you with our problems and with our difficulties. Thank you, Lord.